Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Foles takes it to no one in particular and now throws a pick. Intercepted by Michael Davis. Chargers do come with extra men on the rush. Throw to the sideline, up for grabs, and it is intercepted, I believe. No single signal yet. Derwin James. And the catch is made. It's a pick. Here's a pick. Intercepted by the Chargers and Samuel. And Asante Samuel ducks out of bounds with another takeaway for this Charger defense.
What did Nick Foles ever do to our producer, Justin Graver, to embarrass him like that? Three interceptions by Nick Foles in his return to the starting lineup. First start for the Indianapolis Colts. It wasn't close. 20-3. The Los Angeles Chargers are headed back to the playoffs. First time under Brandon Staley. First time with Justin Herbert. But the second time this year that I've got Jordan Rodrigue with me on a Monday night recap. Jordan, you cover the Rams for The Athletic, your team not going to the playoffs this year, but the other resident of SoFi Stadium, the Los Angeles Chargers, are there.
I know. They're just maxing out that stadium, aren't they? Yeah, I had a lot of fun on here with when we talked about Ravens Saints. Feels like years ago at this point. I felt like I was kind of bugging you because I wanted to be back on here talking football and getting to watch other games other than the team I've covered that's 5-10 this year. But
although they were pretty fun on Christmas with the 50 burger, made my daughter happy. But yes, we're talking.
That's 50 Krabby Patties. Thank you,
Greg. Oh, there you go. I love that. The Chargers, though, in an uninspiring game for the most part in terms of its competitiveness because of the Colts offense, get the job done, and they're celebrating. It's a big deal, 20-3. And yeah, I wanted to have you back, Jordan. You're one of the best guests we've had on. Everyone loved hearing your football takes. And this Chargers team has gotten a lot more interesting, I think, over the last month because of the defense. That's where I'm going to start. I know they were going against Nick Foles, but they still only gave up 10 first downs and 173 yards. They've played really well now, three straight weeks. Brandon Staley, the old Rams assistant, has been in his bag. Like, what have you seen out of this Chargers defense lately?
Yeah, it's been really interesting. Maybe it was something about watching Sebastian Joseph Day really occupy and sort of disrupt space at the nose, or, you know, maybe it was Brandon Staley on the side. It's something about the way that they've been playing, especially some of the coverages they've been using. That Miami game I thought was really well coached. And then they've really brought it home defensively the last few weeks. There was something about that I had this weird deja vu with that Asante Samuel pick. It looked like you know, the way he dropped off that overhang and sort of just like knew what the concept was going to be before it totally unfolded.
Explain what overhang means to the listeners.
Just when they're on the outside of that sort of shell that they play in, and the corner is able to, even when they're, if they're in a zone or even if they're in some sort of hybrid of a match zone or something like that, you're allowed to sort of be free and flexible. If you're playing the way that Brandon Staley wants to play, you can pattern match, you can do different things with a little bit more autonomy if this thing is evolved and playing the way that it's supposed to play. And so it reminded me a lot of Darius Williams. Rams 2020 had like the season of his career, made a bunch of money after that season because he just was taking the ball away on similar such concepts when he's just dropping in and disrupting and sort of matching and playing with vision and free like that. And it's fun. I think they've been fun to watch this defense. It's supposed to be alive. It's supposed to constrict and suffocate over the top of routes. And it's also supposed to really disrupt in that way. And it's supposed to evolve and sort of really empower the players. And that's kind of what I see over the last few games. And my colleague Daniel Popper at The Athletic, he's written a little bit about the players' meetings that Kyle Van Noy has been leading and those types of things. That really reminds me of sort of what this ethos of this thing is supposed to look like. And that's kind of, it also does describe what you said is Brandon Staley being in his bag, because this is what his vision is for something like this.
Right. It's why I think this Chargers team is a fun playoff team, other than the fact that Justin Herbert wears a Chargers uniform. Any team with Justin Herbert's on it is going to be box office. I can't wait for whatever the matchup's going to be. It could be Herbert versus Lawrence. It could be Herbert versus Burrow. It could be Herbert versus Mahomes or Allen. But the defense is the reason why I think they're a real team. They've made it to 9-6, and the way you described it really, I think, points out how the coverage is starting to match the pass rush, and they just haven't had much of a pass rush for most of the season. Today they have 7 sacks, and again, I know playing the Colts and Titans in back-to-back weeks is a huge factor in this. It really is. But they weren't the type of defense, I don't think, earlier in the season that could beat up on bad offensive lines. And they end up with 7 sacks today. Some are from the linebacker level with blitzes. Drew Tranquil, Kenneth Murray, Van Noy, I think, got in there. Some is from Rumpf and Mack. And Rumpf has been playing better as the second pass rusher. Joey Bosa could be back for the playoffs. So they're getting heat. Nick Foles didn't have a chance back there on some of these plays. And then the secondary, to your point, I think is playing with more freedom. Asante Samuel wants to be a ball hawk like his dad was. 51 interceptions. I looked it up tonight for his dad. So he's got 47 to go. Asante Jr. is only at 4 right now through 2 seasons. Derwin James, we can talk about his ejection later, but that interception that he made was fantastic. And I just think this is a defense that has playmakers at every level. I consider Tranquil a playmaker. You get Bosa back. Joseph Day has been back. I think they found something in their defensive tackle. How do you pronounce his last name? Semi Fahotu. He's played well lately. It just feels like they're a complicated defense. Tell me if I'm wrong. It's like a lot going on, and they want to change up who they are week to week in a different way than Bill Belichick does, but on some level that way. But you need to have like a team that really understands what they're doing for that to work. And for much of the season and much of Staley's career and with the Chargers, it hasn't worked because I don't think they've really understood what he wanted them to do, and now it's working.
Yeah, I think something that I learned about him when he was coordinating the Rams defense in 2020 was the way that he could explain and sort of give players the answers to the test, but then help them see it and not just, you know, hear it or be talking at them or showing them clips or whatever. It was really something that the players internalized. And this was something they learned, you know, basically over PowerPoint, essentially, because the buildings and everything were shut down at that time. And the first time they ran it was like, you know, deep into the summer when the building reopened post start of pandemic. And so I think, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he has sort of been relying on a little bit of those foundational points from his own career arc, especially as things have seemed to kind of in the middle there with injuries and you know, just some lack of cohesion, it felt like, on both sides of the ball. I wouldn't be surprised if he sort of leaned into some of those foundational elements of the teaching part of this, because once players feel that they know the answers to the test, that's really where you're seeing them, you know, jump over the top of these routes. And like I said, they always have pattern matched in practice, but really feeling what it's supposed to look like and really feeling what it is to, like I said, have this thing have life in it. And like, it sort of evolves and changes as the players feel more and more empowered within the system. And that's what I see. And again, because I watched a different variation of it, you know, very, very closely for a year, and then sort of dropped into this thing tonight, essentially. And that's sort of what I saw. And yes, it's, you know, Nick Foles and the Colts, and they're having their own problems. But again, like you said, it's, you know, your brain doesn't compute a team beating up on this O-line with how much has been invested in it. They've not been good this year, but your brain like does not compute the lopsided nature of what this thing is. And so this was a game that this defense did need to completely assert itself and completely dominate. And they did. And I think that that's a credit, like you said, Brandon Staley being in his bag the last month or so. But I think over the years we've seen, wherever this defense has gone, it's gotten better. If it's doing what it's supposed to do, like I said, if it's evolving and becoming more alive and empowered with the players, it definitely gets better as the year goes on. That's what it's supposed to do. So I think that's an important part of this too.
That's very Belichickian too, with his old defenses, that they would improve in December. And again, yeah, it's the Colts, but they dominated the Colts offense more than the Vikings did, more than the Cowboys did, more than the Steelers did. I'm thinking of the Jeff Saturday era, even more than the Eagles did in terms of yardage, in terms of points. So that's all you can do is play the team in front of you. I can understand why Brandon Staley is pumped up right now. We're seeing kind of the reports of them celebrating. Our colleague Bridget Condon, who's been on this show, saying she's never seen like a locker room like this with the Chargers, and it makes sense. It's a big deal making the playoffs. Music playing, everyone celebrating. The Colts reporters are like, oh wow, this is what a happy team looks like. You think about Staley, and they've had some winning. It's only been two seasons, but it wasn't that long ago that we were sitting at 6-6, and Sean Payton is having his sources tell the media that he's looking at LA teams, and that's Brandon Staley, because there's a Super Bowl winner in the other LA team, and who knows, maybe McVay could have a surprise retire, and that's what Peyton's thinking. But I think he's thinking the Chargers, and they're at 6-6. They're heading to a stretch against the Dolphins and the Titans, who at the time were looking like world beaters. And I was thinking, like, this is a big moment in his career. So I totally get why they are celebrating. And it's the first time, you know, since they moved to SoFi that they'll make the playoffs. They did make the playoffs one time, their first year technically in LA, although they were down in Carson with Philip Rivers. But anytime you can get to the playoffs first time in 5 years, it's a big deal. Do you have confidence, though, in where their offense is? This is a limited sample size, I know you're watching tonight, but I think this was a good sample, because I think the Colts are a good defense. They're not a top five defense, but I would put them in the 6-10 range. A really good defensive line who played well tonight. How do you think the Chargers offense stacked up against them?
You know, I did do a lot of research coming into this, because you know me, Greg, I like to be prepared, and then I go
too
down
prepared.
These like
too prepared.
I go down these like where I get so excited about just random details that I find, and then I just go down these rabbit holes of information gathering, and like most of it I don't even use, but it just sits there in like a Google Doc. But I had it written down at one point. I wanted to bring up the point that Total Superstar and the brilliant Mina Kimes brought up about Justin Herbert and moving his pocket and getting him going in some of this like boot action and some of these types of things where he can throw on the move and it helps his line. And you didn't see any of that to open the game. And you know, the other thing
that
was really
great, three and outs to open the game though.
Yeah. And especially coming after interceptions on the other side. I mean, it just was like this sort of gasping feeling that you just didn't feel like anything was comfortable. It felt like what it feels like to be like sitting in a doctor's office and your like shoulders are clenched. That's what it felt like. watching this group, and it shouldn't feel like that.
Wow. Is that in the Google Doc?
You gotta freaking no, it's not. That's not in the Google Doc.
That's but just I'm, like, off the dome.
Up,
that's
I'm, like,
good.
I'm clenching up talking about it right now, like on the screen, like my fists are clenched right now. And you got a freaking Lamborghini at quarterback, and it's just it shouldn't feel like that, right? And it's interesting because, you know, I'm not really the type, especially if I don't, you know, as a beat, I'm a beat writer, so I know my place, and I'm not going to sit there and go scorched earth on another team's coordinator or anything like that. But I do think that it shouldn't feel like that. And it was really noticeable. Like, they live and die only on these third downs. And that shouldn't be the case.
Since he got there.
They're so dependent on converting specifically on third downs, no matter what the down and distance is. And usually it's not super advantageous. And even so, that's such a low probability position to put your quarterback in, even if he can do it. So there's like multiple things that are true. Like, yes, he can do it. He can make the hard throws. He can convert the crazy downs that, what was it, third and 13, and it was 16 yards, and like it was a really nice play.
That was on after a second and 21. That was one of the key sequences on their first touchdown drive.
Super disadvantageous spot, though. Even if your quarterback can do it, doesn't mean he always should have to be in that type of, live or die kind of mode in that regard. And I think that that's been so interesting, like, you know, the managing the down and distance, they've been something like 66% of their conversions are coming on third down. And like, it's really lopsided. And it's something where, you know, if you can, I know they've had troubles running the ball and all that stuff. Austin Eckler, by the way, love his guitar celebration. I think that's like one of the best ones.
Iconic. For a touchdown. He gets to do it so often.
I know, iconic. And he scores really well and all of that. But in terms of that overall, like, I know they've had some troubles with the run game, but in terms of, hey, you know, have your quarterback just drop back and try to make something happen. To me, just because you can do that doesn't mean you always should. And that's why my shoulders are clenched.
Right. They went 8 for 18 on third down. Yeah, so that's right, very good.
It's still a low probability. It's good, but it's still a 50% probability rate.
Right, you don't want to get
not a high probability.
And
rate.
That's been his whole career, is waiting until you get to third down and let Herbert make a play. I mean, it is much better than the Colts, who went 0-for-10 on third down. They went a whole game without getting a third down, and I was like, man, that's brutal. When was the last time that happened? I was like, oh yeah, 6 games ago with the Patriots, the Colts went 0-for-14 on third down, and that got Frank Reich fired. So they're not going to fire Jeff Saturday after this one, but I think Jeff Saturday's chances of keeping this job really dissipated around the fourth quarter of that Vikings-Colts game, and tonight did nothing to change it around. When we talk Chargers, a lot of times it feels like it's Justin Herbert Nation, of which I'm a card-carrying member, like coming up with reasons why people are holding him back. In this case, Joe Lombardi. And you can absolutely go scorched earth on Joe Lombardi, because you're not a beat writer in this setting, Jordan. You're a podcaster, and we're totally irresponsible. Oh, we answer to no one. We're beholden to no one.
Well, this is why I get to just like giggle delightedly over some of the really epic Mark Sessler rants over the years. But you know, from
football
afar, it's like
different than basketball.
It's true.
It's like, you don't want to get, that's true, Mark. You don't want to get too close to the sun. Like, Mark flies real close to the sun. All
he
the
does.
Time.
It's dangerous. It's dangerous sitting next to him, but I love him for that. But I noticed on just my Twitter feed after the game, we're waiting to start the show, and I had, you know, tweeted how I was excited to see these possible playoff matchups with Herbert. And all the responses are about, like, Herbert essentially not belonging in a matchup against Burrow or Allen or even Trevor Lawrence. That, like, he's a ton of comments. It's like, he's not even an above average quarterback. Did you watch tonight's game? Like, what are you talking about, man? And I'm thinking, like, this game is a perfect example. If you watch this game and you think that Justin Herbert's a bad quarterback, you're bad at watching football. Like,
that's a take I agree with.
Right. You're bad at it. Like, I'm not saying that he was perfect in this game, but through 3 quarters, Next Gen Stats had him as the most pressured game of his entire career. I don't know how that was in the fourth quarter or not. I didn't look for the update. But on 50% of his dropbacks, he was pressured. And he sometimes looks like he's almost a safe quarterback, because he has a Drew Brees, Tom Brady-like thing that if he's getting pressured, he gets rid of the ball. Doesn't mean he can't improvise. He does that sometimes too, but he's not going to wait around forever. He's going to get rid of the ball, and that's a good thing. And oh, by the way, when you run a flea flicker and your receiver's not even really open, he can throw it 30 yards on the opposite hash without the ball ever going 5 feet above the ground, and it's going a million miles an hour. And he had a few of those plays tonight, and he had the third downs that kept drives going. They had two long touchdown drives, and it wasn't perfect, but to be under that much pressure, people are crazy if they don't think he's in that category. But I guess people just have this thing in their mind that you got to win playoff games or else they just don't think of you that way. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, the interception was like a tip. Right. So that happens. I know he's thrown a couple of these last few weeks, but the interception was a tip that happens. And then the fumble, even, oh my God, he got sandwiched between two people.
All four guys had pressure on that play.
Strung out. Yeah.
Literally. I checked next gen because that never happens. All four guys won because we were kind of saying on our Channel 5 broadcast, shout out to all the UK viewers, that why didn't he let go of the ball? There was someone open. And then you look and all four guys in front of him are losing their battle.
You're going to accidentally, what are you going to do? All your linemen are now free, right? So what are you going to do? You're accidentally going to dump the ball off to without seeing, and it's a lineman. And then you get a penalty, worst case scenario. But that was crazy to me. And then, so that makes it a little all the more compounded why, then they're not moving the pocket around and those types of things that could maybe alleviate some of that, or at least keep the opposing defensive line off balance a little bit. And then also, I understand though that it compounds because they're also having some problems managing the downs because they're not, they are not necessarily running the ball super effectively. It's a compounding of some of these issues. And then Justin Herbert, I think when I watch him play, I think, you're never really thinking you're out of a series, regardless of what happens on it, because of what he can do and the throws that he can make. He's just incredible. And when you go back to the Sean Payton thing you brought up, of course this dude's salivating over, anything right. with a quarterback like that, right? Anyone in the
come
league.
Be
wants
the
quarterback
come be
like
the
that.
Offensive coordinator for the Chargers, Sean. If you want to live in LA, work under Brandon
Staley.
You're
addressing him directly now. I love it. He's spicy. Address him directly.
I mean, I'm just saying, if he wants to coach Justin Herbert and he wants to stay in LA, flip it up. I know it'd be awkward. Joe Lombardi used to be on Sean Payton's staff back in the day. So it all connects.
More awkward things have happened in the NFL today, Greg. Today alone.
That is absolutely true.
But I think you're right. I mean, you're absolutely correct. Justin Herbert is incredible, and you watch him do some of these things, even, like I said, in the most low probability situations. That's the thing that I think people don't always factor in when they're watching him, is some of the things he makes happen in the lowest probability situation he should not be as consistently good at. A human should not be as consistently good at making things happen in low probability concepts. And yet he is doing that over and over and over again.
And I think that one thing that's different about him right now is that he has Keenan Allen. He has Mike Williams. He has Joshua Palmer, who's had a nice second season. He's healthier with the ribs. Their offensive line can get healthier. Pipkins, I believe, was back out there. And they might get Rashawn Slater back before the playoffs, which is kind of crazy. We actually might see him in week 18. So this Chargers team isn't perfect, but it is the best version of the 2022 Chargers team going into the season. A lot of people thought just roster-wise, they're there with the top three or four teams in the AFC. It's been a bumpy road to get there. They're going to have to play on the road, but I think they've put themselves in the best position possible to matter, and that's a big step. Congrats to the Chargers. I always have a soft spot for the Chargers. I was a big Philip Rivers fan, and now I'm a Herbert fan. One to the next. You can't really root for the Chargers though, because the Rams. I know you don't.
Texts. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't. You're not you don't work for the Rams, but the Rams are not happy with the Chargers' success. That's what I'm gonna say. Not the players, the organization.
This week is going to be fun because the Rams are cooking a little bit.
About that. They're playing this week. Rams, Chargers.
And there's not going to be, to me, in my mind, there's not going to be any taking snaps off or anything like that between either group, just because it's been since those practices, like I said, in 2020 with Brandon going against Sean's offense, it's been highly competitive and it's been really fun.
That's good. Yeah, I like that the Rams added a little juice to this, putting up the 50 Patty Crabbies and Baker playing well. And the Chargers have something to play for. It's not the biggest games in the world, but they finished with the Rams and the Broncos, so they have a real chance to finish with a 5-game winning streak, which, if nothing else, especially playing another 2 compromised offenses in a row, can really put some wind in their sails, could possibly get them up to the 5 seed. They cannot be the 7 seed. That is clinched. They are either the 5 or the 6, so they would have to pass the Ravens to get to the 5. That would be a better spot, I think, for the first round, because you'd play at the AFC South winner. The Jaguars would be favored to be that team right now, but that'll come down to week 18. So they're going to try to get that seed. They're going to try to keep the good vibes going. Not much to say about the Colts. I feel bad for everyone there. They've been outscored in the fourth quarter under Jeff Saturday, 90-9, and their defense has played great all year, and I was sad to see Nick Foles throw 3 picks like this, because it's quite possible, Jordan, and we'll move on quickly. If you have any Colts thoughts, tell me them. But it just occurred to me, like, man, Jeff Saturday might be putting Nick Foles and Matt Ryan's careers to bed in, like, the most depressing way possible.
One. Yeah, he's like getting 2-for-1, just swept aside. I mean, it is.
Because I don't know. I don't know for sure if we'll see another Ryan start. I would guess Foles will start next week, because he said he didn't consider bringing in Sam Ehlinger, and it's like, why keep spinning this wheel? But we'll see.
Yeah, I like the Colts defense a lot. Actually, I did have fun watching them.
Okay,
tonight.
Give me a couple. Give me. I know you got something written down by them. They are a great front line.
Well, I just like the concept and the theory behind what they do. I think that, like, they kind of knew that, again, that the Chargers were going to have some trouble with their down management. And they sort of keyed in on that with some of the coverage structures they were playing. And they really capped, I think Justin Herbert, of course, is incredible. And I think, you know, there's some explosives and all of that, but especially in some of the, when the game was a little bit tighter and there was just some, just a little bit of cloudiness and a lot of kind of constricting downward out of that umbrella shell that they,
They really took away the outside throws to Williams and Palmer.
And Justin Herbert's so good at those. And those are such money downs for them. And I think that being able to, like I said, keep those guys on the overhangs, really, I'm like gesturing wildly over here, keep those guys on the overhangs really disciplined. And then they'd always constrict inward and they'd always constrict down. And I think that's a really good way to play aggressively, even if you're going to play in a shell. So that to me, I thought was fun to watch. And I like them. I mean, I've always enjoyed watching Stephon Gilmore play, and I like that. You know, I like the Colts defense. I feel bad. I feel like I'm just watching some Sisyphean effort every single time.
Right. There's a reason why they get crushed in the fourth quarter. They wear out, and they really have been I was actually kind of making a mental list during this game, and I would have them like they'd be like the 7th best defense in the league. A nice little comeback season for Gus Bradley, who's bounced around the last couple of years, including with the Chargers. He might have been their defensive coordinator the last time they made the playoffs, to bring it all around. I could go check
time
that.
Time is a flat circle.
But
they got good pressure too. They got pressure in a lot of different ways. They got like they totally just brushed past the, you know, whatever the Chargers were doing to try to set those protections. And, you know, like I said, stayed really disciplined on the back end. And I thought it was a good game plan. It's too bad they couldn't score on the other side.
And by the way, Gus was that defensive coordinator. Offensive coordinator was Ken Whisenhunt.
And the coach
was Anthony Lynn. They won 12 games that year. They beat the Ravens in the playoffs. And then they gave up a 40 burger in the divisional round to the Patriots. And yet everyone says that Tom Brady was carried to that Super Bowl because they only remember the Super Bowl. And yet he put a 40 burger on the Chargers and outdueled Mahomes in the AFC Championship. He wasn't carried anywhere. All right, that's enough of
all that. Greg, do you think that your coworkers are going to start like putting a jar out for every time you bring up the Patriots during a podcast that's not about the Patriots?
I don't think I do that. I like to remember the good times, though.
I know. It's fine. You're working through some stuff. Like, I'm here for you. I totally get it. Like, I empathize. You're just work through it. Feel your feelings, man.
I mean, I don't even like watching them anymore. It's just like, I don't. You said, by the way, that the shows lately, you said this off air, you thought they were getting like spicier, maybe.
No, I like the bits. Like, I like the Lockfather bit.
Okay.
I like laugh deliriously every single time. And like, I think it's hilarious. And then you could, cause I listen to it. I love the YouTube concept, but
I would never
show
watch
I'm
it.
On the go, yeah. But I love listening to it. And I can picture you guys as Dan gets going. I can just picture you guys sitting there just staring at him and kind of like letting out those sigh laughs every once in a while.
I know.
It's just so good. And Colleen's AI generated Hallmark episode was fantastic.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, I think
all right,
you guys.
Stop it. I've become a podcast host that asks the guests to compliment us. This is horrendous. to that point, I listened to an old clip of our last Christmas Eve show, and we played a couple with our friend Chris Wesseling, and I'm in the Chris Wesseling podcast studio. And the thing that I got listening to that was we miss everything about Wes, but man, I miss his laugh to those bits. You know what I mean? Because I listened to a couple and Dan had some jokes there and just his laugh. I know Dan misses that part of it too. It just added so much to the show. And instead, I'm looking at Dan like side-eyed during that.
Well, as a listener too, I mean, Wes, when he would laugh, like you felt like you were there. That's the kind of laugh that he had where, like I said, I'm always listening. I'm never watching it. And so that whenever he would laugh, you would just feel like you're sitting in the room and like watching everyone react because you can literally hear it in his laugh. It encompassed not just what the person who made the joke was saying, but also the reactions of everybody else to that joke.
That is really well said. An all-time laugh. We're going to go through my top six list quickly here. It's a simple one. We're getting to the end of the season. You can actually vote on the MVP top five this year. I've been pushing for that forever and it happened. I'm not going to say I contributed to this happening, but I'm not going to say it had no impact. You never know. Why would I say that? So it's a list of five. I'm considering six right now for my list. I am struggling with four through six. Help me sort these guys. This is my four through six. No order. Joe Burrow, Tyreek Hill, Josh Allen. That's my four through six.
Oh, man. Because I feel like with Burrow, you're going to want, like a lot will factor into these next couple games.
They're playing each other this week.
Yeah.
And same thing with Tyreek even. I know he's not a quarterback, but
I like
got
that you have him in there. I like that you have him in there, though, because I think like overall, I'd probably go, oh, that's really tough. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, I slice it. Someone's going to yell at me. It's fine. I accept it. But I feel like Tyreek, in terms of, you know, I feel like you're going to go Josh Allen, Tyreek, Joe Burrow. It's nothing against
four,
Joe
five,
Burrow.
Six. So Burrow's six.
It's nothing against Joe Burrow at all. I think he's outstanding. Like, I think he's so special. But I think that if you're looking at sort of like the season as a whole, and you're also looking at, I like to shake it up. I like the idea of receivers who are at that level of playmaker. Justin Jefferson, I think, being one of them too. I like the idea of receivers being included in these lists and these votes, especially, you know, how they have elevated everybody around them. That's the definition
of an MVP. They changed this season, those two trades, Tyreek and AJ Brown.
Exactly. And what I think is so interesting too, when you're looking at an AJ Brown, you're looking at Justin Jefferson, you're looking at Tyreek Hill, when you have a player at a skill position like that, that is that tier sort of at, you know, that their mean is elite. And on a good day, they can become sort of like this transcendent presence on a field. Like, you can build so much of your roster and factor in how you build your roster and the resources you put in, and even the way that you draft and develop complementary players around talent like that. You can change your entire team building model and your ecosystem around players like that if you can keep them long enough and you can keep them healthy and paid. And that's what the Rams did for so long with Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. And it helped open up like literally the entire rest of what their ecosystem became that led to that Super Bowl win. And I think that that's a trend. That's what you can do with players who are maybe at skill positions, but they so transcend on their good days. And on average, they're elite. Right. And I think that's really important.
At that skill position. I mean, I don't think it's at running back.
No, well, this I'm saying
maybe
like
there's
the
Travis Kelce.
Like,
yeah,
the
I just mean
positions.
It's changed. The NFL's changed. I do this wide receiver, the free agent list every year, and there used to always be great receivers on it. There's none this year because everyone's re-signed. They're not letting anyone get out there. Juju and Jacoby Myers and Beckham are the best wide receivers. And then it's a pretty big drop after that. There used to be teams understand that wide receivers have been undervalued for a while, and now they're getting paid. And everyone like got their laughs in about Christian Kirk making 17, 18 a year. That deal looks great. I think that's fine. If you can have a $15 million to $18 million receiver that's playing 800, 900 good snaps for you, like that's what it's going to cost now. And everyone wants three of those guys. And I would probably go Tyreek 6. I really struggle between those other two. Josh Allen's running is so good. He's actually averaging.
That's what I factored into.
He's averaging more yards per carry than last year, and he led the league last year. Like his percentage of runs that are first downs is insane. He's going to set a career high in rushing yards. He's only, 200 something yards behind Lamar and Hurts, or at least Hurts, who's over 1,000 now. So it's like, it's tough. Burrow's made less mistakes, though. Right now, I might give Burrow 4. Doesn't matter. Jefferson, number 3 on my list. Justin Jefferson.
Good. I like it. I like it.
Number 2, Jalen Hurts. Not ruling him out, although he's been 2 my whole season, and now he's missed 1 game. If he misses 2, that's probably it. That, to me, that's a big chunk of the season. He might be back this week, though. And then Mahomes, 1. Hurts would have to do a lot over the next 2 weeks, and Mahomes would probably have to stumble a little bit, certainly lose one of these games or be responsible for a bad performance. So that's my list. I'm feeling good about it right now. And I think Jefferson feels at the worst is going to be in my top 5 at the end of the season and get some votes here.
Yeah, like I said, I like that like more players can get votes, and I like that that's how things are structured. Thank you so much for doing that for all of us football fans, Greg. Really, really appreciate your you being the catalyst for that movement in a league that is so slow to change. And I really think that.
Well, I don't know if you've seen the pins we've been wearing lately. Probably not, but they say inspire change. And that's really what I've done.
That's your contribution. Wow. That's really impactful. And I think I totally agree with your list. And I think I really liked this conversation that was sort of happening on the internet over the last couple of weeks about, have we psychologically normalized Pat Mahomes? Mm. And I think that's such a fun thing to think about because he's just so consistently elite. Have our brains sort of just like almost like scar tissued over that impact layer that he always
not me
has that create. But I'm just saying I appreciate it every time I see it. But as a society, have we normalized?
It's like they're the best offense in the league. It was one thing when the Dolphins were competitive with them, but they are easily the best offense in the league efficiency wise. Obviously, they don't have Tyreek Hill this year. It's because of Mahomes. It's always because of Mahomes. It's why they could get those draft picks to help the rest of their team, and he is playing outstanding, making it all work. He's my MVP. You're one of the big MVPs of the Monday night season. We've only got one more. Nick Wesseling is going to be my guest on the finale.
Oh, yay.
Bengals,
love that.
Bills, best Monday night game of the season is the last one. So I'm excited for that. I was excited to have you, Jordan. Thank you. Thanks for coming on. And enjoy Chargers Rams.
Thanks so much for having me. That will be a blast. Perhaps not as fun as Bengals Bills, but that will be a blast. And I always love coming on the show, talking to you about football, Greg. So thanks for having
me. We will do it again, not just on the Rams. And until tomorrow, when we'll talk about all sorts of teams, probably not the Rams. We got a guest in the studio, Andrew Hawkins, former Brown, my former co-host on Game Day View, is going to join us on the show. We're going to talk about our favorite playoff matchups. It's been a crazy week. Until Tuesday, heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com. /compatibility.